just survive, though the road be long and the river wide, though the seasons change and the willows bend, though some dreams break, some others mend. We were born to give and born to take, to win and lose and to celebrate. We were born to know and born to muse, to unfold our hearts, take a chance and choose. Turn no more through a door be closed, and we feel the pain to chance it all and to love again. We were born to reach, to seek what's true, to surrender all, to make each day new. We were born to laugh and born to cry, to rejoice and grieve, just to be alive. We were born to hope and to know despair, to stand alone when there's no one there. We were born to trust and to understand that in every heart there's an outstretched hand. We were born to love, to be right, to be false and true, to be weak and strong. We were born to live, to break down the walls, and to know that life is to taste it all. Taste it.
My God, let's give more love to Bill. I don't know if I can talk after that. By the way, for those of you who want to take Bill home, listen to his music. I have a few of these that are still left, and I can pull them out of my office. They're $10 a piece. They're Bill Brooks Live at Unity of New York. And today's talk title is Wholehearted Living. And when I was preparing that song, Born to Live, which is one of my all-time favorite David Ault songs, and I thought, well, we'll see if possibly. I mean, if anybody could do that song right, it would be Bill Brooks. And so did you contact David?
Yes, the interesting thing is that be in the microphone. The interesting thing is I met David Ault many times in Unity of New York because he came and spoke and sang and did various things. So I contacted him, and he is in Indian Cambodia through the rest of the year,
yes,
and had no access to his music. But he was like, but the music director at Unity of New York was named Britt Hall, and he said, well, Britt probably has a copy of it. And because I used to work in the office and was the music assistant to Britt, I had an archive of all the music. So because David told me Britt had it, I found it, and I already had it. I just didn't know I had it because it was in the archive.
That's God for you. That is Spirit. Says, here's an idea, and then Spirit goes, but I already got the music.
Plus,
and
currently, that song I couldn't find anywhere published currently for sale.
Well, there you go. It is on YouTube for those of you who want to hear David Ault sing it. It's not by you, but it's David Ault singing Born to Live, and Ault is A-U-L-T. Anyway, Born to Live. And I love the last line because it's all the contrasts of life, despair, hope, to give, to take, to stand alone, to have a heart reach out. And all of it at the end, the last line is to taste it all, to taste it all. That just gives me the God bumps. So this talk today, Wholehearted Living, is basically a preview of what's going to be happening for the next 7 weeks, because we have the Adventures in Faith. Can we turn the heat down or up, you know, down so that we have air? Because you're doing this and I'm going, yeah, I'm feeling this too. So they can fix that for us. So we're going to be studying The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown, which some of you have already signed up for your Adventures in Faith small group studies that you're doing either online or at someone's home or here at Unity. Now, this is an older copy of the book. And this is the copy I had. I now have the new copy because they're a little bit different just in the page numbers, and there's an ad in the beginning. But what I like about this particular book is it had subtitles on it. And the subtitles, The Gifts of Imperfection, subtitle one, let go of who you think you're supposed to be and embrace who you are. The second part of that subtitle is your guide to wholehearted living. Wholehearted living. So now I'm going, what is wholehearted living? And is there such a thing, if I'm not wholehearted living, am I living half-hearted? Right? It's like, what does that really mean? Well, part of what we're going to look at today is somewhat of an overview of this course that you're going to take with others, or you'll hear about it on Sundays as well. So, wholehearted living, what does that mean? Well, Brené Brown starts off saying that wholehearted living is about engaging our lives in from a place of worthiness. So me being the minister and word understanding, what is worthiness? Well, worthiness is when you are good enough. You're good enough. And that's sometimes a sticking point, because some of us got told, perhaps as a child, you're not good enough. Or perhaps you have an inner critic. Anyone have an inner critic? So when you don't do as well as you could have, you hear about it, and it's not by somebody outside. We have our own inner critic because, hey, truth is, we're not perfect. And yet, we live in a society that is always looking for the perfection, us to be the best that we can be. She goes on to say that the wholehearted living is basically a journey of a lifetime. And she asks these four questions, which I like the introduction of thinking what she's going for, is number one, what does it take to live and love from a place of worthiness? And I was thinking about this worthy thing, and actually I looked up synonyms for worthiness. Worthiness means you're deserving, you're good enough, you're honorable, you're excellent. And the opposite, you're unworthy, you're not good enough, you're not really somebody, you just don't have what it takes. So the question she asked again is, what does it take to live and love from that place of worthiness? The next question, how do you embrace imperfection? How do you embrace yourself when you just made a mess of things, or you did a really rotten job, or you were anything less than perfect. How do you embrace your imperfections? Next question, how do we cultivate what we need? And cultivate is a word that she uses, and I'll tell you more about that in a minute, but how do you cultivate, create what you need? And here's the last piece of this. How do you let go of things that are holding us back? Anybody ever feel like you might be held back in any area of your life? We feel held back. There's fear that happens. So I'm going to give you a brief overview of the table of contents, because I think this helped me. Actually, by the way, I did not choose this book for this Adventures in Faith study that we do every fall. I kept going to the bookshelf through the last 4 or 5 months, just wondering, what are we going to do? And I pick up different books that I love. And this one continually, this book chose me. It was like, and I don't even particularly have a resonance with Brené Brown. That's my honesty. And I was like, no, Spirit goes, this is the book. I'm like, oh boy. So I'm going to dive in and become more familiar with, part of it is Brené Brown, for those of you who know of her, she's a research person and she studies shame, vulnerability, and fear. I don't know about you, but I'm not into any of those, right? What's shame? I'm like, unworthiness, any of that. It's like, I don't play in that playground. It's like Spirit goes, maybe you do, and you have just not paid attention. So she has to become have a wholehearted life. There are 10 guideposts to having this wholehearted living. Guidepost number one is cultivating your authenticity. Now, to cultivate your authenticity, you know what you got to let go of? What other people think. Right? You ever like not do something because, hey, I don't know what they're going to think or say. We hesitate because there's fear around that. Guidepost two, cultivating self-compassion. That means we have to let go of the perfectionist little inner critic that wants to get on our case anytime we make a mess of things, right? Number three, cultivating a resilient spirit. I don't know about you, but life is tough. We have so many things that she calls unraveling. You could have a midlife crisis. You could have a loss in your life. There could be the aging process. There are so many things happening in our outer world, not just our personal world, that can be really heavy and hard to deal with. And how do you not become numb? I mean, we all have coping mechanisms, and sometimes they're not the best. Maybe it's eating, maybe it's shopping, maybe it's watching too much TV. All of these things are fine, but there's this numbing out. I don't want to feel the sadness of what's going on in the world. So we numb out. So we need to let go of that numbing out and feeling powerless. And anyone who is in any form of recovery from addictions knows there's this sense of powerlessness. Guidepost four, cultivating our gratitude and joy. And most of us are familiar with gratitude and joy, but I found it interesting that she connects that with our letting go of scarcity. Scarcity mindset. I know none of you have scarcity. You always have enough. You're always enough. But it's letting go of that. Number five, cultivating our intuition, right? So what you have to let go of, anybody guess what you have to let go of? They're all looking. No. The need for certainty. Our minds want to be certain. Our minds are wanting to keep us safe. So, hey, if I know what's coming, then I can be prepared. But to let that go, because we have a deeper part of us that's intuition, but we're not told to trust that. We're all to be rational. So to trust that, we are letting go of that need to have it certain that it's going to work out. Life is never about that certainty, but we feel safer when we do have that. Next, cultivating creativity. I have to let go of comparing myself to anybody else, okay? I can't sing it perhaps in the same way as you, but that doesn't mean I should shut down my singing or my artistry because Alex is such a better, you know, person in the artistry world. Creativity, we're all creative. But and I'm going to guess that each one of us could probably play more in the land of creativity. Why do we hesitate to maybe go have a painting class, to try something? We have this need to be good at what we do. Next, I like this one, of course, cultivating play and rest. I don't know about you, but I grew up with the don't be lazy, and the only way that I was of value was when I was being productive. I used to have a do-aholic. It was like, I'm good when I get things done. And for me to lay around and not do anything, I heard the words, you're lazy. And it's not true. We need to have play and rest. So I have to let go of productivity to being my self-worth. Next, we have the cultivating calm and stillness. What do you think you need to let go of? Thinking. And part of that thinking, Alex, is anxiety. Oh, yes, we have to let go of anxiety and worry. And I know none of you have that, so that won't be a thing that you would want to, you know, that'll be the easiest one for you to let go of anxiety. Number 9, cultivating meaningful work. And I like to shift this even into cultivating meaning and purpose. Because some of us don't necessarily, quote, work, because maybe we're retired. But meaning and purpose in our lives, and what we're going to let go of to have more meaning and purpose is letting go of any self-doubt or I'm supposed to do this. Okay. And last but not least, cultivating laughter, song, and dance. Laughter, song, and dance. And I think you're celebrating, and if you get to number 10, you're celebrating that you got through the other 9, right? And that one, you're letting go of being cool and always in control. And I have changed that a little bit to letting go of being cool, to be willing to be the fool, you know, because of course they rhyme. And me, I'm also known not just by Rev Liz, but as Reverend Yippy Doo. And if you are a first timer and don't know why Reverend Yippy Doo, you all have to wait to the end of the service. But, you know, that's kind of being very silly and lighthearted. And there may be people that would be like, no, that doesn't work for me because ministers should be a little more serious, right? Well, no. I'm going to be who I am 100% of the time. If you don't like me, that's okay. Because if you don't like me, the truth is, it's never about me. Don Miguel Ruiz, who we studied last year, said, don't take things personally. Why? Because it's never about me. If you're judging someone else, it's a part of you that you haven't learned to love yet. One of my favorite quotes is, we never see people as they are. We only see people as we are. I never see people as they are. I only see people as I am. Why? Because I'm projecting. And what I don't like about you, then I don't like that part of me. What I love about you, I love in me. So if you're thinking Rev Liz is awesome, it's not about me. It's how awesome are you, right? What I know is that God, the divine spirit, whatever we want to call this energy, I believe it is unconditional love, period. Now, I can be mean. I can be hateful. I could be intentionally causing harm to another. Intentionally. That's abhorrent, right? And at the same time, the divine would only love me. It would not love, perhaps, my behavior, but spirit is unconditional love. If, regardless, no matter how I'm thinking, being, or behaving, it can only love. We are the ones who play in judgment, you know, and we're always judging. And when I or someone else is being mean, being hateful, being intentionally hurting others, and there are, we know that's happening in the world. People that go out and shoot. It's like, what is that about? What I understand by what I just said is that we are vibrational beings. And when I or someone else is in that lower vibration of hurt and mean, because that is not our nature, we were born as love beings, pure and innocent. And when somebody is intentionally, or I'm hurting somebody or being hateful, it's because I'm hurting, because they're hurting. People who hurt people are people that are hurting. They are hurting, and they don't know how to express that. I heard of a thing back in, it was a long time ago, when boys cry bullets. That just gave me God bumps, because I had not just remembered that now, but when boys cry bullets, because for the masculine, they have to be tough and to be vulnerable and to cry. So the males have a lot of times had to shut down. And so they're in pain, but they don't know how to healthfully share that pain, be in that vulnerableness. And so they shoot bullets. That's scary, and it is what it is. And so what we need to do, whenever anyone is in a lower vibration, and this is the challenge, to love people that are in their lower vibrations, people that are hurting people, can I love them? Can I love someone? And the answer is yes. And it's separating the behavior from the person. Love the person, not the actions. And we tend to tie those together a lot. So the gifts of imperfection, wholehearted living, to me, we're here to learn how to love unconditionally, regardless of behavior. To love unconditionally is what I aspire to. And what I believe wholehearted living is actually unconditional loving. Okay, unconditional loving is wholehearted living. When we can love unconditionally ourselves and others, then we are living that wholehearted life. And I think that's easier said than done, perhaps. Now, just to complete the idea, so you've got the 10 guideposts. By the way, I will be speaking on these 10 guideposts in the next 7 weeks. And, you know, you can have all the head knowledge, but the question is practice. It's a practice. It's about practicing. And when you come together in a small group, what you have is an opportunity to hear somebody else's thought. Because you could all do this at home, but it wouldn't be the same. When you are in a small group, you have an opportunity to share. And then you hear things that you wouldn't hear all by yourself. That's why we do these groups, because it's about connection. And now that I've said the C word, connection, gifts of imperfection. Who knows what the gifts of imperfection are? Raise your hands. Mm-hmm. That's what I suspected. There are three gifts that Brené talks about. Three gifts of imperfection, and they are the three C's. The first C is courage. Because courage, all of these things that we're letting go of and cultivating, it's because we have fear. There's fears, more fear. We're more fear-based than we care to admit. So courage to be imperfect, to be who you are. And the word courage has the root word in Latin, cur, which means heart. Originally, the term courage meant to speak one's mind by telling all of one's heart. Now, courage is developed, and it's more in the idea of you're courageous and you're heroic. you know, when you're going into you had a lot of courage because you dove into that fire and you saved somebody. That's what courage is. However, this is taking it back to the original meaning. Original, speaking honestly about who you are, what you're feeling, and about situations in your life, good or bad. We hesitate. I hesitate sometimes to share things because I become vulnerable when I share something that might be in my heart. And I don't want to share that. Why? Because I'm vulnerable. And vulnerable means I'm open to being hurt by either someone's judgment, not liking me, rejection. So it takes courage. Courage is one of the gifts of imperfection. And I like this line. She talks about how heroics is about putting one's life on the line. Ordinary courage, it's about putting one's vulnerability on the line. Little different. And I think perhaps more courageous than not is to put your vulnerability on the line and to risk that possibility of, I could be hurt. Yeah, well, I probably could be hurt, and I'm doing it anyway. So, you know, but it takes courage to be willing to stand up. Next C, compassion. The word compassion, the Latin part, is compati, which means to suffer with, to suffer with. And when I have done talks on compassion, it's actually recognizing the suffering of others. You recognize it, and it has the component of wanting to actually take action to relieve that person of the thing that they're suffering with. Empathy is when you can relate to someone else's suffering, but compassion has that component of taking action to help relieve one's suffering. Now, one of the things Brené Brown adds that I didn't really ever think about, it's expanding what I'm thinking. She has learned that many of the truly committed, compassionate people that she interviewed were also the most boundary conscious people in the study. She says, compassionate people are boundary people. I'm like, what? And she talks a lot about that. And she says, basically, compassion is when you accept somebody in where they're at and you assist them. However, you also hold them accountable for their behaviors. And it makes me think about enabling. I may have compassion because someone maybe have an addiction, right? And that person is suffering, and I want to help them. And to hold people accountable for their feelings is an important part of having compassion. That was something that I didn't ever think about, but I really understood it after I read it a couple times to really get that feeling of, oh, I'm holding you accountable. I have compassion. And there are consequences for people's behavior. And that's what accountability means. And the final C is connection. So you've got courage. What was the second one? Very good. Just making sure you're with me here. And the last one is connection. And I'm going to share what she says her definition of connection is. She says, connection is the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued. I love that. Connection is what the energy people have when they feel seen, heard, and valued. And then she has an additional part where they can give and receive without judgment, and when they derive sustenance and strength from the relationship. Now, you probably all know that we are wired biology-wise, neuroscience-wise, for connection. In fact, connection, the lack of, actually affects our biology and our brain performance. So connection is something that we crave. Now that my partner is no longer in a body and on the other side of the veil, I crave connection like I never have. I want connection. I need connection, and it has become really obvious to me. So she also talks a little bit about connection, and I'll share this from her book. She says, our innate need for connection makes the consequences of disconnection that much more real and dangerous. Sometimes we only think we're connected. Technology, for example, has become a kind of imposter for connection, making us believe we're connected when we're really not, at least not in the ways that we need to be. In our technology-crazed world, we've confused being communicative with feeling connected. And I'm like, oh, this is speaking to me a little, but I do connect or feel I connect when I share things in Facebook. However, it's not a real connection. It says, just because we're plugged in doesn't mean we feel seen and heard. In fact, hyper-communication can mean we spend more time on Facebook than we do face-to-face with people that we care about. She says, I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a restaurant and seen two parents on their cell phones while their kids are busy texting or playing video games. What's the point of sitting together? You've seen perhaps times where people go, you walk in the door, you put your cell phone in the basket, you take it, pick it up on the way out, because that's our way now. She also talks about we also have to give up self-sufficiency. We're taught, tough, be tough, do it alone. And a lot of us are helpers. We have that helping nature. And she says that in order to have connection, it goes two ways. And if you are not able or I'm not able to ask for help, that isn't really connection, to be able to be vulnerable to say, I'm struggling, Tom, I need some help, okay? Would you do a prayer for me? Right? So to be able to both give and receive help. So in closing, we're also going to be doing chakras. How many of you are familiar with a chakra? Some of you are. Those are the energy centers that are literally in our body, starting with the lower chakra and moving up through the seven chakras. So in, there's a word, it's escaping my mind. We are going to, for the 7 weeks that we are in the Adventures in Faith, going to also be honoring the different chakras. And Tom, bless his heart. So next week, I'm wearing red. If you want to wear red, because it's week one, and that is the first we're going to go with, red. And Tom, bless his heart, said he never gets it right. He always wears the wrong color. So yesterday in the board meeting, he said, could you possibly give me some sort of a thing so I know what I'm wearing on that week? Thank you, Tom. Now everybody gets to benefit from your ask. And so I have printed off these, and if you're online and want a copy, but next week we're wearing red. And that's your opportunity. So I'm going to close with what she says about wholehearted living. She said, the wholehearted journey is not the path of least resistance. It's a path of consciousness and choice. It's a path of what?
Consciousness.
I think that is very, very powerful. This path of wholehearted living is consciousness and our choices. The willingness to tell our stories, to feel the pain with others, and to stay genuinely connected in a disconnected world is not something we can do half-heartedly. To practice courage, compassion, and connection is to look at life and the people around us and say, I'm all in. Not half in. So are you all in? Okay, if you'd be willing to, can you say with me, I'm all in? I'm all in. And the closing two quotes. First one, owning our story and loving ourselves through that process is the bravest thing that we can do. Owning our story can be hard, but not nearly as difficult as spending our lives running from it. Embracing our vulnerabilities is risky, but not nearly as dangerous as giving up on love and belonging and joy, the experiences that make us the most vulnerable. Only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light. Only when we're brave enough to explore our darkness can we discover our life. I want us to be brave. I want me to be brave. Let's be brave together. And so it is.
You can be amazing. You can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast or be the backlash of somebody's lack of love. Or you can start speaking up. Nothing's gonna hurt you the way that words do when they settle neath the skin. Kept on the inside with no sunlight, sometimes a shadow wins. But I wonder what would happen if you say what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave with what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave. Just wanna see you. I just wanna see you. I wanna see you. I wanna see you be brave. Just wanna see you. I just wanna see you. Everybody's been there, everybody's been stared down by the enemy. Fallen for the fear and done some disappearing, bowed down to the mighty. Don't run, stop holding your tongue. Maybe there's a way out of the cage where you live. Maybe one of these days you can let the light in. Show me how big your brave is. Say what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave with what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave. And since your history of silence won't do you any good, did you think it would? Let your words be anything but empty. Why don't you tell the truth? Say what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave with what you wanna say and let the words fall out. Honestly, I wanna see you be brave. Just wanna see you.